This week's Parsha is Parsha's Bow, and the title of tonight's shiur is Wealthy Slaves. And tonight I want to discuss the idea, the concept of when the Jews left Mitzrayim, the Torah tells us that they left with a lot of gold and a lot of silver. And the Torah tells us this, and I want to understand why it's so important or why it was necessary for the Jewish people to leave Mitzrayim with a lot of money and a lot of gold and silver. Okay, that's the main question of tonight's shiur. The classic answer that I've heard in the past many years I hear this answer is slave mentality, which is an interesting catchphrase that's used very often, that the reason why the Jews needed to leave with the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians' money and gold, was so that they escaped the slave mentality. That's the famous answer given. But, however, I'm not going to go with that answer, because I think there's another idea that that emerges from this area in the Torah. So we're going to go through the Mefarshim and try to be as honest as we possibly can. And I think there's a different idea that the Torah is driving at in explaining why the Jews had to leave with the money of the Egyptians. Okay? So we're going to start from the Psukim, number one, source number one, Shmos Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, od nego echad avi al paro v'al mitzrayim, achreichein yishalach eschem mizeh, kishalacho kala, garesh eschem mizeh. Hashem says to Moshe, there's one more Makas Bechoros, he doesn't say Makas Bechoros in the Pasuk, but that's what it's referring to, which I will bring upon Mitzrayim, and then afterwards, he will let you out, and he will send you out, drive you out completely out of this place, okay? Then the next Pasuk in Beis, Daber na be'ozne ha'am, so speak, please, or we're going to explain what that means, in the ears of the nation, v'yishalu ish me'es re'ehu v'yisha me'es re'usach klei chesef u'klei zahav. And each man should borrow from his fellow man, and each woman should borrow from her fellow woman, klei chesef, utensils of silver and utensils of gold. V'yitein Hashem eschein ha'am be'enei Mitzrayim. And Hashem, he placed the favor of Bnei Israel in the eyes of the Egyptians. Gama ish Moshe gadol me'od be'arat Mitzrayim be'enei avdei farao v'enei ha'am. And also Moshe was very popular and very well liked in the eyes of Mitzrayim and the eyes of the nation. Okay, so as I said before, when I first introduced this year, the main question that I want to take up is why was this tzivoy necessary? Why was it so important for the Jews to borrow money from the Egyptians, klei chesef uklei zahav? But I think there's a more detailed further question that we can ask on these psukim, which I think is obvious, and that is, what's the idea of vayishalu, that they borrowed it? They didn't really borrow the gold and the silver, they were taking it with them into the desert. So why does the Torah use the phrase vayishalu, that they borrowed? It should say vayikach, that each man should take from his fellow man, and each woman should take from her fellow woman. So it's funny that as part of the idea of leaving with money and gold was that they should borrow it, or it's used as she'ela. Why are we using the word she'ela to reference this idea? So that's the second question. So we have two questions, as I said before. Why was this necessary, and what's the deal with borrowing the money? Why not just take it? And then you have this last pasuk, Vayitein Hashem Eschena Am Be'enei Mitzrayim. Apparently that was necessary in order to borrow from them or to take from them. So why is that important? Why is that a critical idea? Okay, so we go to Rashi, and this is a strange Rashi, which we're going to use as a platform to try to understand this area. And number two, Rashi, Shmos Perek Yud Aleph on a Pasuk base. And he's quoting a Gemara here. Daber na, ein na elo lashon bakasha. So when the Torah uses the term na, it means a request. Bevakasha mimcha, so please, it's almost like he's asking Moshe to please, has hirem al kach, to warn them on this and to be mazir them on this. Shelo yomar oso tzadik Avraham, in order that Avraham doesn't say va'avadum be'inu osam kiyem bahem va'acharei chen yetzu berachush gadol lo kiyem bahem, that the nevuah which said that the Mitzrayim were to enslave them would come true, but the end of the nevuah va'acharei chen yetzu berachush gadol lo kiyem bahem never came true. Okay, so let me just summarize Rashi. What is Rashi saying? He's saying that Hashem is basically asking Moshe politely to please remind Klal Yisrael to go to the Egyptians and take their money and their kesef. Why? So that Avram isn't upset. why would Avram be upset? Because Avram received a nevuah, which we're going to go into, which said that the Jewish people would be enslaved by the Mitzrayim. It's in the Bris Ben Abasarim. And it also says at the end of the nevuah that the Jews will leave Berechush Gadol. And in order so that Berechush Gadol, meaning a lot of wealth. And in order so that the whole nevuah is true, that's why Hashem is saying to Moshe, please be mazir the Jews to do this. Okay? So what's strange about this, this Rashi? What's strange about this Rashi? I'm leaving this open for somebody on the phone line if they want to ask. Okay, so I think what's strange about this Rashi is that Avram Avinu wasn't alive. You know, he was dead. So what does it mean that Moshe should warn the Jews to, or I guess he should remind them to take the Kesef and the Zahav from the Egyptians so that Avram Avinu isn't upset about it? Avram Avinu isn't alive, so what do we care about Avram Avinu's response or reaction to, you know, the Jews taking money from the Egyptians, right? So that's one question.
It seems like a reverse nevuah.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Because if they're just telling them, oh, make sure to take things so that his nevuah will come true.
Right.
Well, why would they say that?
Right, okay.
If nevuah was a real nevuah and it was going to happen, like they didn't have to cause it to happen.
Right, okay. All right, that's a good question. I think another question also...
Another question?
Yeah, sure.
Vayishalu?
Yeah.
Isn't not just
NAS? Well, Vayishalu means to borrow in general, but we're going to see that it doesn't really mean that. We're going to explain that. Vayishalu.
Why does it not mean to ask?
It just... it. And sometimes it means to she'ela, she'el, and sometimes it means to borrow. But I think most Mefarshim say it means to borrow, but they actually explain that it's not really borrowing. So we're going to get into that. It's a good question. But I'm pretty sure the pshat is that it's more in line with borrowing. Okay? Okay, good question. All right, but one more question on the Rashi. So another question on the Rashi is that why did Moshe have to remind them? Why did God say to Moshe to remind them? You'd think that the Jews would want to take the Klei Chesef and the Klei Zahav from the Mitzrayim. You would think that if Moshe just said it to them straight out, they would want to do it. It sounds like from the Medrash and from what Rashi's saying, it says, it's like almost like it's a request for Moshe, you know, to please remind them to do this in order so that Avram isn't upset about the nevuah not coming true. So it's a funny thing. Why would you would think that you wouldn't have to remind a bunch of slaves to leave with money, but apparently they had to be reminded. So the question is, why did they have to be reminded? Okay, so those are the questions. But keep in mind the main question, which is the backdrop of the shir, which is, why was it so significant for them, you know, to take the money, the Klei Chesef and the Klei Zahav of the Mitzrayim? Okay, so that's the main question. And we'll come back to this Medrash and Rashi. So one more point before we start our journey. So one more point is Vayishalu, which Dean, I think, mentioned. So what does Vayishalu mean? So I said it means to borrow, but the Rashbam and other Mefarshim also, we're going to see later on, they don't say it means to borrow, but rather, look at number 3 in Beis. It says, Vayishalu l'shem matana gemura, kimo sha'al mimenu ve'etna goyim nachalasecha. So Vayishalu means for the sake of a matana gemura, of a full-fledged matana, of a full-fledged present. So it doesn't mean that the Jews would borrow from the Egyptians, but rather it meant that the Egyptians would give the Jews their Klei Chesef and Klei Zahav as a full-fledged matana, as a full-fledged present, right? That explains what Vayishalu means, but you still have the question of why did it have to be like this? If the whole thing was that the Jews had to leave, you know, with lots of money, Klei Chesef and Klei Zahav, so then just tell them to take it from the Egyptians, go into their houses and physically take their stuff. Why does it have to be that the Egyptians want to give it to the Jews and they give it to them as a Shema Tana Gemura? It's a strange formulation of what happened, right? So that's a question, a major question. Okay. All right. If I'm missing any questions, just feel free to cut me off and just ask the question, okay?
Wait, I have a question. I don't understand why it would be strange that the Mitzrayim would just give them the thing from their house as opposed to just taking them.
No, my question is, if the whole point was that the Jews should leave with lots of money, so then the Jews were obviously in power by the end of the Makos, so just the Jews should go into the Egyptians' houses and take it forcefully. Why did it have to be Vayishalu Ishmeisra Ehu? And then the next pasuk says that Vayitein Hashem Eschena Am Beinei Mitzrayim. Why did it have to be like that? That the Egyptians had to give up their stuff willfully? Why couldn't it just be that the Jews were obviously more powerful at that point, so the Jews could just go into their houses and take their stuff? If the whole point is that
Why is that strange? Like, it's never really characteristic of Jews to just go into, like, their houses and take other people's things, or is it?
Well, here they were,
Sorry, I just wanted to add on to what Emily's saying. Also, like, realize, even though they might realize that they are more powerful, the Mitzrim who were next to them were also the people who were involved in, like, in enslaving them earlier, so, like, beating them down. So, like, even though they might realize in some sense that they are powerful, like, they might need some, like, convincing to be motivated to say, it's okay to do this, they're not going to, like, beat you down again.
Okay. All right. Slave. So that's the slave mentality answer, basically. So you're saying...
No, I'm not trying to go down that road, but
no, it's okay. It's okay. It's not a bad answer. I'm not saying it's a bad answer. I just think that there's a different way to go. But you're saying that, basically, let me just explain what Debbie's saying, I think, that they had a slave mentality, and it would be difficult for them to physically go into the Egyptians' houses and take their stuff. So the Torah has to set it up that the Egyptians will give them their money willfully so that the Jews will get it. But if not, they won't get it. Right? That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so that's
also a good... I was going to ask, is it possible that... I know we don't know the reason or answer why, but, like, could whatever that... Like, whatever reason the Mitzrim had to give it to them, could it be something that would necessarily affect the Mitzrim? Could it be something that was for the Mitzrim, not necessarily for the Jews?
Okay, we'll see. But the Medrash seems to say that the reason for this is that Shelo Yomar Oso Tzadik Avram Vavadum Vinu Osam Kiyim Bahem V'Acharechein Yetu Berchush Gadol Lo Kiyim Bahem. So the Medrash, as we said in number 2, says that Avram Avram won't be upset that only half of the Nevuah given to him by the Brisbane of Asarim came true and not the other half. So it seems to be more for Klal Yisrael. But we'll try to explain that. Okay? But it's a good point. I'm not saying the slave mentality answer is a bad answer. It definitely works, but I think we have to look at the Gemara itself. The Gemara adds an extra element that Rashi doesn't add, and I think we have to follow the line of reasoning of the Rishonim. So I think in analysis of this area, we have to go back to the Brisbane and Masarim. I think that's the smartest, most logical place to go in order to explain this area. So let's go back to the Nevuah given to Avram, and if we understand the Nevuah and understand it on a deeper level, then maybe we'll understand this medrash about Avram and Avram being upset. Okay, so let's go back. Number 4, we're going back to Bereishis, Perek Tes Vav. And this is the Brisbane Abasarim. Vayomer l'Avram, yadua teida ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lolahem, va'avadum b'inuosam arba me'oshana. Hashem tells Avram that the nation that comes from him, his offspring, they will be enslaved in a land that's not theirs, and they will suffer. The people who enslave them will cause them suffering for around 400 years. V'gam, and then look at Yedalad. V'gam esagoy asher yavodu don anochi v'acharechein yetsu berachush gadol. And afterwards, the nation that enslaved the Jews will be judged appropriately by myself, anochi. And furthermore, v'acharechein yetsu berachush gadol. And afterwards, they will leave Mitzrayim with great wealth. Okay, and look at Rashi, number 5. Dan anochi. How is God going to exact judgment upon the nation that enslaved the Jews? Rashi, dan anochi, be'eser makos. So that's through the 10 makos. That's God's enactment of judgment on the Egyptians for enslaving the Jews improperly. And berachush gadol, b'mamon gadol. He just says that rechush gadol is a reference to lots of money. Kemo she'ne'emar vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim, which we're going to see means that they emptied out Mitzrayim. Okay? So the basic psukim say that the Jews will be enslaved, and afterwards God will enact judgment on those who enslaved the Jews. And Rashi explains how does God enact judgment by the Eser Makos. And then afterwards they will leave with great wealth. Okay? And our question still remains, why was it significant for the Jews to leave with great wealth? Okay? So if I send out two different documents, because some people don't get the image files, but on the image files, I put in 2 mefarshim that give similar explanations for leaving with wealth, and I want to explore this idea. Okay, so the 2 are the Chizkuni. If you don't have it, just listen. The Chizkuni and the Sfarna. Sorry, not the Sfarna, the Radak. Okay, so number six, the Chizkuni says, what's the reason for Yetzu Berchosh Gadol? So he says, I'm going to read inside, Es HaGoy Golos Mitzrayim Begam L'Rabo Shar Golios. So it's a reference to the Egyptian Golos, and so to further exiles. The Acharechein Yetzu Berchosh Gadol Schar Shibudom. It's going to be a reward, a repayment for their enslavement and for their suffering. Okay, the Chizkuni says, basically, that the reason why they'll leave with great wealth is to repay them for all the suffering that they endured. Look at the Radak. He says the same thing. Yetu berchosh gadol, acharei tashlum arba meoshana, yatsu min ha'avoda b'mamon rav, chelef avodasam asher avadam. So after they complete the 400 years of slavery, they will leave their enslavement with lots of money as an exchange for the avoda in which they were caused to do. Okay, so both Mefarshim, both the Chizkuni and the Radak are saying that the reason for the Jews leaving with great wealth was that it was somehow a repayment. Somehow it was a schar for the enslavement that they endured. Okay, so that's why it's significant, Berechosh Gadol, which is a strange answer, which we're going to need to explain, because how do you really repay, you know, how do you repay the enslavement through Mammon? How do you repay that? And why was it important also that this be repaid through Mammon? Seems kind of strange that this would be the case. Okay? But let's look at the primary source. If you look in the Chizkuni that I put down, he quotes Gemara and Sanhedrin. So the Chizkuni, he didn't really come up with this, nor did the Radak. This wasn't their own Svara, but rather it's an idea from the Gemara and Sanhedrin. And the Gemara it's an interesting, a little bit odd Gemara. So let's go through it inside. It's a story, so it's not so dry. All right. So Shuv Pam Achas Ba'u B'nei Mitzrayim Ladun Im Yisrael Lifnei Alexander's Mokdun. So one time there was another instance where the B'nei Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, they came to protest against the Jews before Alexander of Macedon. Amru Lo, they said to him, meaning the Mitzrayim, Harehu Omer v'Hashem Nasan Eschena Am b'nei Mitzrayim v'yashilum. So it says that the Egyptians, Hashem made it so that the Egyptians looked at the Jews favorably and they gave them all their stuff, basically. Tznu lanu kesef v'zahav shenitaltem imenu. So the Mitzrayim said, give us all the money that you took from us. So the argument that the Egyptians are making are that the Jews owe us all our money back, because they stole all of it when they left Mitzrayim. So Amar Gavia ben Pesisa lechachamim. So this guy, Gavia ben Pesisa, said to the Chachamim, Tznu li rishus ve'elech va'adun imahen lifnei Alexanders. Give me permission to go protest and fight on behalf of the Jews before Alexander. Im yinatzchuni, if I'm successful, Amru lahem, you can say back to them, Hed yot shebanu nitzachtem. You beat an idiot, a non-knowledgeable person amongst us. Vim ani anatzeach, but if I win, osam, amru lahem, toros Moshe Rabbeinu nitzachtem, nitzachtechem. So then you can say that the Torah really, you know, succeeded and prevailed. So nasnu lo rishos, v'halach v'danimayin. So the Jews said, okay, go. You can go and fight on behalf of the Jews. So this guy went to Alexander, amru lahem, mehechan atem mevin raya. So he said to them, where do you bring a raya from? Where do you bring a proof from? So Amru lo min haTorah, the Egyptian said back to him, from the Torah. So Amar lahen, he said back to them, Af ani lo avi lachem raya ela min haTorah. I'll also bring you a raya from the Torah. Shenamar umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashvu b'mitzrayim shloshim shana v'arba me'oshana. Tznu lanu schar avoda shel shishim ribo. Sheshibatem b'mitzrayim shloshim shana v'arba me'oshana. He says, I'll give you my raya from the Torah. The Jews were enslaved for 430 years. So give me all the money to repay the 600,000 people who were enslaved in Mitzrayim for that length of time. So then he, Amr lehen Alexandra es mokdun, hechziru lo tshuva. Do you have an answer to him? Amr lo, tznu lanu zman shloshi yomim. Give us 3 days. Nasan lehem zman, badku v'lo matu tshuva. They couldn't find an answer. Miad hinichu sadosein kishen zruos, u karmein kishen etuos, u barchu, v'osa shana shviyis haisa. So the Egyptians, they lost the argument and they ended up leaving the land. Okay? But the basic gist of the argument of this Gemara is that the Egyptians are saying that the Jews owe them the money and that they stole the money unjustly, and they took the money away from the Egyptians when they left Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrayim are arguing that now we're owed the money back. And this guy, Gavia ben Pasisa, is saying, no, rather, we have a right to get paid for all the slavery that we endured, so we don't owe you the money. That's his basic argument back to them. Okay, so my point in bringing this Gemara is just to show you the source for the Cheskuni and the Radak, that there seems to be an idea that the Jews leave Egypt with lots of money tied to the concept of repayment for their slavery. So the question that I want to take up, or that's bothering me, is why was this necessary? Why was it necessary? And also, how does this work? How does it work that this money should somehow be a replacement or a repayment of the slavery that they endured? Okay? All right. So let's go back to the Medrash.
Okay.
Yes. What? Was that Debbie? Okay. Thank you for...
Is that okay?
Thank you. All right, let's go back to the... Let's go back to the Medrash, and then we'll explain it. We'll give, a beautiful answer to try to explain. It's a deep answer to try to explain V'achareichem Yitzu B'rechush Gadol. And then I also think we can explain the idea of She'ela, why it was necessary for the Egyptians to willingly to give it to the Jews as a Matana Gemura. Okay? So let's look at the Medrash. The Medrash that Rashi quoted, that Avram's going to be upset. So it's number 8. It's Brachos Daf Tesamad Aleph. Daber na be'ozneahom. Amri devei Rabbi Yanai, ein na ela lashon bakasha. The word of na means bakasha, which is exactly what Rashi says. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. So Hashem says to Moshe, bevakasha mimcha, leich ve'emor lahem liYisrael, bevakasha mikem. So I'm asking you, requesting from you, to go to Klal Yisrael and request from them, shalu mimitzrayim klei chesef uklei zahav. Go take from the Mitzrayim, ask from them or borrow from them, Klei chesef uklei zahav, shelo yomar oso tzadik, so that Avraham doesn't say, v'avadum v'inu osam kiyem baham, v'acharechein yitu b'rachush gadol lo kiyem baham. So that he doesn't say that the fact that they were enslaved was mekayem baham, did come true, but the fact that they left with great wealth did not come true. So Amrulo, now this is the addition of the Medrash, which gives us a lot of insight. So Amrulo, they said to him, ulavai shenetze ba'atzmenu. So it would be enough for us to leave with our bones. Mashal la'adam shaya chavush beveis ha'asurim. So let's say you have a guy who's in jail, v'hayu omrim lo b'nei adam, and people say to him, motziin oscha l'machar mibeis ha'asurim, v'nosnin l'cha mamon harbe. So if we're going to take you out of jail tomorrow, and we'll give you a lot of money, the Omer Lahem, but the guy in jail says, "Bevakasha mikem, please, hotziuni hayom ve'eni bevakeshlom. I'd rather leave today and not get anything." Okay, so the Medrash is saying that the Jews, they were just happy leaving, getting out, and they would have been happy just getting out immediately, just like the person who's in jail. The person who's in jail, he doesn't care. He would rather leave immediately rather than wait a day and get more money. He'd rather get out immediately. So too, the Medrash is explaining that, I think the Medrash is saying, pshat, that Moshe had to convince Klal Yisrael to take the clay kesef and clay zav from the Egyptians. Why? Because apparently they weren't so into it. They would rather just leave and get out of there rather than waste their time and take the money and the kesef from the Egyptians. So why did they have to take it? So then you go back to the Medrash, they had to take it in order to not upset Avram, so that Avram wouldn't say that only half of the Nevuah came true, but the other half didn't come true. Okay? So why do we care? It's the same question. Why do we care about what Avram, Avram's dead, so why do we care? What does it mean that we're worried about Avram's perspective of the Nevuah? And furthermore, why, if the Jews didn't want to take it, then why force them to take it? Why was it so important for them to take the money? Right? Okay. So now I think we're going to give an answer, or start to give an answer, okay? There is a Rabbeinu Chananel on number 9, and he gives a nice idea, and he's going to be the basis for the big answer for tonight's shir. If you look in source number 9, Vayishalu ish me'es re'eu v'isha me'es re'usa klei chesef. Ein she'ela zu kishe'ela ha'amura bekelem, jehi she'ela al-menas l'hachzir. So this type of borrowing is not the normal type of borrowing when you borrow somebody's utensils. Normally, when you borrow somebody's utensils, the expectation is that you give it back to them. Elat siva sheyish alu mehem b'matana. But the tzivoy, the commandment was that they borrow from them as a present, or take from them as a present. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu yitein lahem chein be'inei ha-mitzrim v'yitnu lahem. And Hashem is going to make the Jews be favorable in the eyes of the Mitzrayim, and they will gladly give up of their stuff to the Jews. Okay, so he's pretty much saying the same thing we've said. V'ein zeh gnivas das sheyitzav b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas v'shalom. So this isn't trickery. There's no gnevas das. They're not trying to manipulate the Egyptians. Chas v'shalom. Aval haya hadavar mutter lahem. It was really mutter for them. Sharei ha'avoda she'asu lahem ein la erech. There was no end. There was no end to the amount of slavery that they endured. Ve'ein l'schar hamalacha u'leshavei sof v'tachlis. There is basically no amount of money, and there's nothing that they could get repaid with for the malacha that they did, because there was no end to the malacha that they were doing. V'halo din torahu be'eved she'avad es adonav sheva shanim shu chayiv b'ha'anaka. When a servant works for his master for 7 years, the master has to help take care of the servant when they leave. Shenamar, v'chisa shalchenu chavshi mi'imach lo shalchenu reikam. Ha'anek ta'anek lo mitzonecha migarnecha mi'ikvecha. When your slave, when he leaves slavery, you have to provide for him. You have to give him some of your tzon. You have to give him some of your threshing floor, and you have to give him some of your grapes and your wine. Alachas kam vekama hamitrim shahaisa etzlam avodas Yisrael shall reish dal vav shanim. So even more so, the Jews who were enslaved by the Egyptians for 410 years. Okay. So I want to use this Rabbeinu Chananel to try to give, I think, an approach for this area. So what is Rabbeinu Chananel saying? He's saying that there's a system within the Torah. There's a system of avoda. There's a system of slavery, and in the Torah system of slavery, when a slave leaves slavery, he gets money and he gets taken care of when he leaves the slavery. So what is that idea? What is the idea of a slave getting money for his after his slavery? So I want to say this idea, and we're gonna go back to the psukim. See, there's two aspects to the nevuah to Avraham Avinu. If we go to number 4, it says 4 Yudalad. V'gamas hagoya asher yavodu dan anochi v'acharechein yetsu brachush gadol. So the first part of Yudalad is that Hashem is gonna enact judgment, and Rashi explains over there that Hashem is gonna enact judgment through the Eser Makos. And then it says, V'achareichein yitu brachush gadol. So there's two types of justice in this world. There is Hashem's justice, and there's man's justice. What is the difference between Hashem's justice and man's justice? You see, Hashem can when he enacts justice, when Hashem repays somebody for their evil, Hashem can take into account the internal workings of the person, and Hashem could repay a person, midah k'neged midah. But in the realm of man, man can't do that. Man can't. We can't really assess suffering and repay suffering through suffering. But in man's justice, the only way to repay suffering is through money, through monetary means. For example, if you damage another person, and in the damage, you also cause them psychological harm. So there's a way in the Gemara brings down. There's a way to assess the psychological harm monetarily in terms of money, because there's no way to repay that through any other means other than money. So in man's system of justice, the only way to repay somebody for damage or for slavery, even though it's not full, it's not complete, it's not pure justice, is through money. Whereas in God's justice, God can enact justice in the most proper way, and he can repay a person based on the suffering that the person caused and based on the level of evil that the person is. And he can repay justice in a perfect sense. So I think with that idea, I want to explain this nevuah. See, what's the nevuah? The nevuah is saying that there's two aspects to the Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is the justice of God and the justice of man. And V'gamas HaGoya She'yavudu Dan Anochi is a reference to the din of God. That God will take care of his responsibility to enact justice. And the way he'll do that is through the Makos. But there also has to be a justice that takes place in the realm of man. And as I said before, in the realm of man, with regard to slavery, the justice, the only way that man can somehow do mishpat or do justice is through money, through monetary means. So the idea of the nevuah is that in Yetzias Mitzrayim there is a perfect justice. There is a justice on the part of God, God's enactment of justice, but there's also a justice that had to exist on the part of man. And you see, the reason why the Jews, they just wanted to leave Mitzrayim. The Medrash says the Jews wanted to leave Mitzrayim. They didn't care about the money. They weren't really enticed by the money. They simply wanted to leave. But it was important. The nevuah, part of the very nevuah, is that the justice of Yetzias Mitzrayim should be as perfect as possible. And the only way to make the justice of Yetzias Mitzrayim as perfect as possible was so that the Egyptians repay the Jews financially for the slavery that they endured. If they didn't do that, if that never took place, then there would be an emptiness to the justice. The justice would only be a justice of God, but there would be no justice in the framework of man. And that's the idea of the nevuah to Avram. The idea of the nevuah to Avram is "V'gamis agoy asher yavodu don anochi." I will judge them, and also "V'acharechein yitzu bruchus gadol." Also, there will be justice in the framework of man, in the framework of the monetary. So that is the idea of the nevuah. Now, why would it bother Avram? What does it mean that Avram will be bothered? So I don't think it means that Avram is going to be rolling in his grave. I think that's the correct approach. But I think Avram was given this nevuah because of Avram's unique love of justice. You see that Avram really stood or tried to understand justice on a deeper level. Where do we see that most prominently? By Sodom and Amorah. You see, by Sodom and Amorah, Avram's constantly questioning God as to the justice of God's enactment of destroying Sodom and Amorah. So Avram Avinu really stood for justice. And the idea of God expressing the nevuah in this way was that he was showing Avram the justice of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that there would be no lack in justice. As much justice that could be done would be done. There would be justice in the framework of God, and there would be justice in the framework of man. And I think that explains really the Medrash of why it was necessary for the Jews to leave or to take the money of the Egyptians. And that also explains why it had to be Vayashilum. Why couldn't it just be that the Jews took it? See, that wouldn't be just. Justice means that the people who enslave you, they pay you. They give you the money back because they willfully give you the money back as an act of repaying the Jews, as an act of demonstrating a certain justice in the situation. So that's how I want to explain the concept of acharechein yitzu bruchus gadol, that really it was necessary for the Jews to take the Egyptians' money in order to express the fullness and the completeness of the justice of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, does that make sense? Does anybody have a question or different point? Hello? Debbie, can you say something? Help me out. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I want to say for the nevuah, and that's how I want to explain really this part, this aspect of the Parsha. That it was necessary for the Jews. Why the Medrash now also makes sense. Why it had to be na? Why it had to be a bakasha, a request? Why? Because the Jews didn't really care so much. It really wasn't essential for them to leave with the money or the kesef. But it was important vis-a-vis the nevuah. Why? Because the nevuah is expressing the complete element of justice that occurred in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that had to be enacted. That had to take place. So the idea of acharechein yitzu bruchus gadol is to express the fullness of the din and the mishpat of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we see, let's go on now. Look at number 10. When it actually happens, the Torah seems to indicate the same thing. It says Uvnei Yisrael number 10, parak yud beis pasuk lamed hay. Uvnei Yisrael asu kidvar Moshe vayishalu mitzrayim klei chesef uklei zahav usmalos. So the Jews, they borrowed from the Mitzrayim. They took whatever they got willingly from the Mitzrayim. Klei chesef uklei zahav usmalos. So what's different about this pasuk? Usmalos. It never says, earlier in the psukim, Moshe simply says to take the klei chesef uklei zahav, and apparently they took the smalos. And if you look at Rashi, it says in number 11, Lamed Hey, Kidvar Moshe, she'amar lahem b'mitzrayim, vayishalu ish me'isra'ihu. Okay, fine. So they did that, and they followed in line with the tzivoy, the commandment. Usmalos af hin hayu chashuvos lahem min hakesef min hazav. V'amu'uchar b'pasuk chashuv. So the most important thing for them was the smalos, for the dress, the clothing. It wasn't the kesef and the zahav. So I think this reinforces the same idea, that really the Jews, they really didn't care so much from a personal standpoint. They didn't really desire the Egyptians' money or their kesef, sorry, their gold and their silver. They were more concerned with the practical, that when they go into the desert, they want to have clothes to wear. They didn't really care about the kesef and the zahav. So apparently the idea of them taking kesef and zahav had nothing to do with whether they wanted it or not. It had to do with the nevuah that was given to Avram that that the justice had to be complete. Okay, so that's a good proof. So one more interesting point about that. If you look in Lamed Vav in number 10, it says what actually happened. Vashem nasan es chena om b'nei Mitzrayim, vayash ilum, vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim. Okay, Hashem, he made the people look favorable in the eyes of the Mitzrayim, and it says vayash ilum, that they took the stuff, vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim, they emptied out Mitzrayim. So Lamed Vav, it says vayash ilum, af mashlo ayushol demehem, hayunos nimahem. Ata omer echa, tol shnayim balech, vayinatzlu virokeinu. So the Egyptians gave even more than what the Jews asked for. They gave them everything they have. And in the end, the whole Egyptian society had no money. They were completely empty of money. Okay? We're going to explain why that is significant. But I think this also bolsters the same idea, the same point. Why? Because it was important in order for the justice to be as complete as possible in the framework, in the monetary framework, in the framework of man, the Egyptians had to give up everything they had. If they didn't give up everything they had, it would be lacking in justice. Why? Because the nature of the slavery was 410 years. The only way to repay, or 430 years, the only way to repay that is to completely empty yourself of all your money and all your mammon and anything valuable to you and give it to the people that you enslave. So the idea of them being completely, it wasn't enough for them to just give them an ounce of gold or 2 ounces of gold, but they had to be completely, all their money was taken away. They were completely emptied out. And only then could the justice be whole and be complete. Now, there is an interesting medrash before we're almost going to get to the Vayinatzlu, but there's an interesting medrash that says that it wasn't that the Mitzrayim really, really wanted to, but they felt compelled to do it. And if you look at it, says number 12, it says, Amar Rabbi Ami Milame Chehish Ilum Baal Korcham, because it's funny that it says Vayash Ilum, the Lashon, which means that they were forced into giving up of their stuff. Ika de Amri Baal Korcham de Mitzrayim. So some say that the Egyptians felt forced into giving up their stuff. The Ika de Amri Baal Korcham de Yisrael. And some say that the Yisraelim had to force themselves in order to take the stuff. Manda Amar Baal Korcham de Mitzrayim dechsev v'noves bais techalek shalal. Manda Amar Baal. So that's because the Pasuk says that the one who's tarrieth takes the spoils. Manda Amar Bar Korcham de Yisrael Mishum Masoy, because they were heavy. And the Jews didn't want to take it because it was heavy. Okay? So there's two pshat. The Medrash seems to say that the Egyptians were either forced or the Jews were either forced. So the Jews being forced fits into the idea, because we're really saying that the Jews being forced was because they really didn't appreciate fully the idea of the justice, and they simply wanted to get out of Mitzrayim and didn't really want to take the Mitzrayim stuff because it was heavy. And they didn't understand the concept of them emptying out the Mitzrayim to demonstrate this justice. They didn't really appreciate that. But it also seems from the Medrash that the Mitzrayim, even though they were forced into giving up of their stuff, the idea the Medrash is saying is that they felt compelled to do it. It's true that they willingly gave up their stuff, but apparently they were resistant to this idea as well, which makes sense. So even though the Egyptians said, "You can have my gold," but it sounds like from the Medrash that there was a resistance there, that the Egyptians deep down inside didn't want to give it up, but they felt compelled to. And that's why the Pasuk says, Vashem nasan eschena om b'nei Mitzrayim. It had to be that there had to be hashkacha, an intervention on the part of God in order to make the Jews be favorable in the eyes of the Mitzrayim. Okay? So I think that's the main idea of tonight's shiur. I just want to do one more point. It's a small point. So you have this idea at the end that they were completely empty, Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim. And if we look at number 12, in the Gemara, the last two lines, we just did it, but the last two lines say, Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim, Amar Rabbi Ami Milamid Sh'asahua Kimitsuda She'ein Ba'dagon. So what does it mean that the Egyptians were completely empty? So one side says they were made like a trap without Dagon. Veresh Lakish Amar Asa'ua Kimitsula She'ein Ba'dagim. They were made like a pond without fish. And if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, Kimitsuda She'ein Ba'dagon, Derech tzayde ofos lizrog dagon tachas mitzudos kadesh yavo ofos v'nilkaden. So bird trappers, they put out some grain in front of the trap to try to lure the birds in order to capture them. Ukshein ba dagon ain ov pone eleha. But if there's no dagon, if there's no grain, then no birds come. Kach rekenu ha-mitzrim mikol mamonim. So in that way, the Mitzrayim were completely emptied of all their money. Vayinatzlu, targumo verokenu. That's the targum of Vayinatzlu, that they were completely emptied of their money. So one comparison is of the Egyptians to a trap without any grain. And the other comparison is kimitzula she'en badagim, like a pond without fish. Kimo mitzulos yam, klomar besocha tahom ein mitzuyan dagim. In general, you don't find fish in the depths. Ella al svasayam hecha de'ika mazon. But you find fish at the surface where there's food. But over here, in this situation, the surface was completely empty. It was like a pond without any fish. The surface was empty. So what is the idea that the Medrash is trying to express? What's the machlokas between the two? Why do we need comparisons? Why don't we just say that the Mitzrayim didn't have any money? Why do you even need a comparison to a case of a snare, of a trap, or a case of a pond? So I think there's a much deeper idea here. I think the Mitzrayim were affected very greatly by the loss of their money. And there's two ways that they were affected. One way they were affected is that other people weren't drawn to them anymore. And that's the idea of a snare, of a trap without dagon. So you use the dagon in order to trap the birds, and so that the birds be attracted to the trap. But without the dagon, there's no attraction to the trap. So too, once the Mitzrayim, once they were poor and they lost their money, there was no attraction to them anymore. Other nations didn't look at the Mitzrayim in the same way. They weren't attracted to the greatness of the Egyptian society. It affected them. So that's one approach to the idea of Verokenu, and that's the comparison. But the other idea is that they're like a pond without fish, that they didn't go up to the surface where the food was, but rather it sounds like from that they were in the depths. So that's a different idea, I think. That's an idea that once the Egyptians lost their money, they lost a certain self-pride. That when a person goes up to the surface, when the idea of going up to the surface is that you're proud of yourself, you go out, you go up. But the idea is that the Mitzrayim, they were embarrassed. There's a certain embarrassment in their society that when they were poor, and they no longer had a desire and no longer had the drive to go out to be more of a presence, I would say. So that's what I think the idea of Vayinatzlu Mitzrayim. So the idea that the Jews took the Kesef and the Zahav from the Mitzrayim, it had more than just a monetary effect on the Mitzrayim. It affected their whole self-esteem as a society, either because people weren't attracted to them, or the other approach is that they themselves felt a lack of pride in their own society once they lost their money. So the effect of the money wasn't just financial, but it was also psychological. It was also it had a psychological effect on the whole society. Okay, so that's really tonight's shiur, the main idea of tonight's shiur. So I just want to review the main points. The main question of the shiur was, why was it necessary for the Jews to leave with lots of wealth? And also, furthermore, why did the Mitzrayim have to give up the money and the Jews couldn't just take it? So I wanted to say that the concept, based on the Chizkuni and the Radak, which is that it's somehow a repayment for the slavery, and the Rabbeinu Hananel, that it has something to do with treating the slave properly after they leave, is that there's two forms of justice. There's the justice of God and the justice of man. And the idea of the Nevuah to Avram is that in Yetzias Mitzrayim, both aspects of justice will be perfect and be whole. And the idea of the justice of God being perfect was expressed through the Makos, through the supernatural. But the idea of the justice of man being complete was the emptying out of Egypt's money. And only because in man's framework of justice, money is the way that you repay suffering. Money, the only way that we can repay suffering is really through money. Other than nefesh tachas nefesh, but whenever it's damaged, it's physical damage or even psychological, we repay through money. And the idea is that the Egyptians had to be completely bereft of money in order to express the justice taking place in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that was the main idea, and we just supported that from the concept that the Jews didn't seem to be so into taking the money. They had to be forced into it and reminded to do it. Why? Because naturally they didn't have an emotion to really take the Egyptians' money, but it was important for a separate reason. Not so that, you know, not for them, but it was more important for the Nevuah, the idea of the Nevuah, which was the concept that I just stated before. And then the last idea is Vayinatzlu Mitzrayim, that the effect of the Mitzrayim being without money wasn't just financial, but it was also a psychological effect on the society as a whole. They were no longer attracted to by others, or they no longer went out themselves and felt a certain sense of pride. They were stuck beneath in the depths. So that's really the tonight's cheer. So I know everybody was expecting the slave mentality approach, but this, you know, perhaps this is another approach, a different approach, as to why it was so important. Okay? Anybody have any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody have questions? Points that they want to make? All right. So everybody have a good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Yeah.
Bye. Good Shabbos. Thank you.